Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
The cleaner in front, fast and free, he'll have a job to get past him. The cleaner knows how to fight, and he fights on and he wins. The cleaner first by a length.
Now, on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Co-development manager for Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, Simon Stout, joins us now to look back at the Winter Carnival and how it's proceeding at Devonport and trying to tip us onto a few winners next week. How are you, Simon?
Terrific, Shane.
Now, before we hit the Devonport program, we had a Tasmanian performer flying at Flemington last weekend.
We did indeed. Kendrawood flew the flag very strongly on the back of the Queen of the week before to make it 2 weeks in a row. We've had a Tasmanian bred graduate of our yearling sale post a victory at a Melbourne Metropolitan meeting, which his performance was quite dominant, and with a bit of luck we'll see him down here for our summer racing carnival heading towards the Cups.
Well, before we can get to the summer racing carnival, we need to work our way through the winter carnival at Devonport. It's been a huge success so far by the looks of the results and the way the trainers and jockeys have really accepted the format.
It has, yeah. We had a terrific program of 10 races last week, and we're backing up again with 8 this week. And certainly the first of our features last week was the sprint prelude, which was won in dominant fashion by Innocent Gamble. And he shapes as certainly the horse to beat going forward into the final in 2 weeks' time.
A winning double for Barry Campbell, and that started off in the opening race with scouting around taking out the event in runaway style.
Yeah, it was a very, very impressive performance, this one, Shane. Particularly in reviewing the Stride Master sectionals, they ran noticeably faster time than the next division of the maiden, nearly 2 seconds quicker, and that could be attributed to by a very solid tempo mid-race. They ran from the 1200 to the 800 in sub-11 seconds per furlong, which is a bit of low flying, and the performance of scouting around was quite solid in terms of that he sat third in running. So he was up on that speed, not far off them, and was still managed to hold his form to the line. So he's probably one to follow going forward. From there, we moved to race 3, which was also one of the maidens. And from the video and the sectionals, we found two here that probably got a star next to their name in terms of going forward and providing winners in maidens in coming weeks. And they're both from the Adam Trinder stable. One is Aaron Unparalleled, who was having his first start for Adam, and he found the line very strongly from back in the field. And the other was another of Adam's runners in Sweet Treat. And if you see the video, this filly, she's having her first start. She didn't tack on at all. She had no early speed, but still managed to come from last on the corner and rattled off some good sectionals in running her last 400 in 24.89. And covered ground in doing so. So I think she'll make good natural improvements in that going forward, and is certainly capable of stepping into a good maiden and finding the line.
We saw Adam surge up the trainer's premiership late in the season, just completed. He's really working up a pretty powerful stable, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's got some terrific owners behind him, and his record has been very, very strong. There's not too many horses in his stable that don't manage to win a race. I think that it puts him certainly up there as one of our leading trainers.
Certainly going well. And was John Keyes to the fore with Don't We Love It? That was an impressive performance later in the day in race 5.
Yeah, he was one of our better 2-year-olds, and he's made that transition against the older horses and certainly relished the 1350. It was a really, looking at the sectionals, it was a really sustained performance from out in front. He managed to break 48 for his last 800 metres, which says that, you know, it was above average in terms of Class 1 performance. And from behind him, probably one going forward, getting into a similar race, was Gigi Showboy. He gave quite a pronounced start to Don't We Love It, but still managed to run his last 400 in 24.02 to finish off very strongly and run second. So he's probably one going forward that we can follow. And rolling forward into race 8, we saw one of our older horses display a very pronounced return to form since joining the Brunton stable, and that was Loaded Owners. This bloke back to a benchmark 62 with the claim with Hayley McCarthy, and he ran off some terrific sectional, Shane. He managed to run his last 800 in 46.82, his last 600 in 36.25, and even his last 400 was in 24.73. So he's made that's real sustained speed, and I think now that he's found form, the old boy, he might be one to follow going forward.
And a couple of fast finishes in race number 9.
Yeah, well, of course, we've highlighted the performance of Innocent Gamble, but from behind him, I thought the mare Allegro to here. She's resuming in what was a race that was most unsuitable in terms of distance. We certainly know her best form is around the mile to the 2,000 metre mark. And she was able to break 36 seconds for her last 600, which, aside from the winner, were the best sectionals of the race. So if you're looking at her going forward, I'd be quite encouraged by her performance, and be happy to get back on her once she gets to her right trip.
Well, the Winter Carnival is in full swing. It continues this week again at Topeda Park, and one of the real highlights is the return of one of our top jockeys for the program.
Yeah, Sigrid Carr's making a return to Tasmania. Of course, she's transferred over to John Higham in Adelaide and doing a terrific job over there. But she's back home, primarily, I think, to be reunited with Concrete Johnny, but she also picks up a few rides for several other trainers, as you'd expect, given her high popularity prior to her leaving. We also see three of our better juveniles return to the racetrack, that being Valdez for Graham McCulloch, Elastica for Barry Campbell, and GG's Double J for Stuart Gandy. So, there's some real depth to this program.
Have you picked out a couple of winners for us?
Well, we've found a couple just that I think will present pretty reasonable value through the program. And the first of those is in race 2. We'll go with Sigrid and Royston Carr, and that is Rest Upon. This guy, he had two starts in Hobart, neither of which he managed to show any early speed, but his closing sectionals on rain-affected ground were terrific. He managed to pull a lot of ground off the horses out in front of him, and he ran fifth on both occasions. He gets the blinkers on. He comes off a bit of a freshen up. He heads to the Topeda for the first time, which could be a little bit of a risk, but certainly he has shown above average ability, and I think he's capable. If he handles the Topeda, then transition to it, he could be finishing well over the top of these. We go into race 3, and we've got one down the bottom here for Adam Trinder, as we've mentioned, stable well and truly on fire, and that is Viva La Verve. This horse is having her first start this time around, and she's a recent trial winner. In fact, yesterday she was a trial winner for Adam and Daniel Gandit, and Daniel stays aboard, and she's shown good progression at all of her trials. She's a filly by Statue of Liberty, and she can. She's in what doesn't look an overly strong maiden. She may be able to make her presence felt first time around. We move on to race 5, Shane, and out of the sectionals from 2 weeks ago, we found Gigi's Opera. She's going to get in with 54.5 here. In her last start over 1350, she managed to reel off a sub-24 last 400, which put her in the best horses on the day in relation to that time. So she gets back into a benchmark 62 here over 1650, and she's more than capable of, if she can reel off that performance again, figuring in the finish. As we mentioned, race 6 sees the return of GG's Double J, and whilst he certainly has run into a strong affair with the likes of Tuesday Night and Concrete Johnny, who we've highlighted in recent times in terms of their sectionals, if you catch the video on the Taz Racing website of this bloke's trial in Hobart, it was super impressive. He spaced them by about 8 lengths under double wrap, so I think he, despite the fact he's drawn awkwardly, he's well and truly the class runner in the race, and if he can make the transition to Peter's surface, which I think he can. I think he'll be probably getting the best odds you will or preparation for this bloke.
Well, he ran into Admiral a couple of times last season, so Admiral's not in the field on Sunday, so that'll give him a good chance.
Yeah, he's the only horse to have beaten to have beaten Admiral on track, and physically he's furnished. He's done all the right things for a horse going from 2 to 3, and I think he's going to be one of our star performers come the summer racing carnival, and we get a glimpse of that this week.
Yeah, looking forward to his return, that's for sure.
Mm. And in saying that, we do get a little bit of a preview here of some of our better staying horses in the distance prelude, the first of our feature distance races for the winter carnival. And we've got Big Time. He's highlighted as the horse to beat here, based on his win 2 weeks ago for Adam Trinder and Jake Bayliss. But one down in the weights, which is capable of running a very, very strong race, I think, is Super Broadband. He's a horse that ran 23.49 for his last 400 in a race here 2 weeks ago over 13.50. He gets down on the minimum. If he can get the right run in transit, he's one of the horses that's capable of reeling off really strong sectionals late. So he could present good each-way value for punters in the program. And finally, we'll finish the program with the horse that we've highlighted in our recap in recent weeks, and that's Tennessee Drive. He gets Hayley McCarthy back aboard again, so he'll be carrying 2 kilos over the minimum with 56. And these two runs, he's been able to reel off sub-36 last 600s for both of them. He's a genuine speed horse. He gets out in front, makes his own luck, and I think he'll be doing same again.
Certainly flying at the moment, and we thank you for your time. You've been flying with your selections of late, Simon, and anyone who wants to get the edge on Tassie Racing, just head to tasracing.com.au. All the Stridemaster details there and the video replays. It's certainly a growing website, and punters should be heading in that direction for sure.
They should indeed. There's plenty there, and if you can't find a winner there, you might be looking for something else to bide your time, I think.
Exactly. Thanks for your time, Simon.
No worries.
Every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
The Winter Carnival continues at Devonport on Sunday, racing at the Tapeta Synthetic Surface out at Tapeta Park. We've got 8 races on the card to tip us all the winners, including the Quaddy, racing journalist for Taz Racing, Peter Staples. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane. It's a pretty big wrap. We'll get the quaddy. I'll tell you what, might need a quid to get the quaddy because those first two legs, I think they're really wide.
Oh, well, I've got great confidence in you. What about race number 5? It's the first leg. Might have to go a little wide here, you fancy. 1,650 metres, the journey of the benchmark 62.
Look, I've sort of come up with probably 4 or 5 genuine winning chances, and there's probably 3 or 4 others that you'd need to consider that are in with a chance as well. It's... I think there'll be a reasonable tempo in the race because there's some good speed that have drawn reasonable gates. But I'd probably, Beer Belly, Smarty Arty looks the logical selection. It won a benchmark 62 last time out, but it does go up in weight. It's going to carry 59.5, including the claim for Ismail Toker. But a Storm Barrier 11 drew Barrier 2 last time when it won a BM62 and had the run of the race. Won't get that favour this time, and it's going to be hard. Beer Belly has been knocking on the door, and Jake Bayliss gets the ride. I think that's a significant move by Adam Trinder to put Jake Bayliss in form apprentice. He's back here in Tassie, and I think he's only got another half dozen country claim wins left in him. So he's on a couple of good chances, and Beer Belly's won. Ladra from the other Adam Trinder runner, it's dropping in grade, but goes up in weight. Russo's Destiny from the Michael Trinder stable. Now, this is the one that's part-owned by Bob Charlie, former chairman of the Australian Racing Board and now chairman of the Australian Racing Hall of Fame. I spoke to Bob this morning and had a talk to him about a few things, including this horse, and he says it's being prepared for a jumps career, which is the reason why Michael Trinder has him. But in the meantime, he's getting him fit for racing, and it was a terrific first-up run. Bob seems to think, and I agree, that maybe... that first up run, he won't have that sort of zip this time around. So from Barrier 2, he might drift back in the field a bit. Light the Candles, another one of Adams, and Cielo Doro. Speedy Sort from the Ben Stevenson stable. Number 8, Evil Intent, number 10. Last start winner. It's drawn barrier 15, but it won't matter. It gets back anyway. But it'll be coming home hard. And GG's Opera has been knocking on the door with a third of its past three. So there are plenty of chances, but I'd probably try and narrow it down to 1, 2, 4, 10, 11. 1, 2, 4, 10, 11.
Any hope we can trim it up a little bit in the second leg, or is that just as tough? It's a benchmark 72 over 11.50.
We're going wider in the second leg.
Wider.
Isn't that sad? Well, look, it's a good race. It really is a good race, this benchmark 72. And Questmaster, he was a good first-up run, just knocked up. He sat outside the lead, and I think Corey Parrish got a trigger finger. He wanted to get on the last plane out and didn't want to miss it. And he went for home a bit early, I think, on Questmaster. He knocked up the last little bit. And Classic Outlaw ran over the top of him. And he capitulated the last 50 and ran fifth after leading. But he'll be better for the run. Alarmist is first, got a terrific first up record. And while drawn wide, he goes forward and he'll get a berth. Classic Outlaw has won its last two. Got to include it with a 1.5 kilo claim for Georgie Catania. Despite the wide draw, it's got to be a chance. Got to Have Faith was a real eye catcher. Number 5, first up. Geez, it flashed home and takes that run into the race and is improved by it. It's got to be considered. Fashion Label has a fair first up record and drawn nicely. And the 2 kilo claim for Sharks Lux puts it on the minimum. Even Danish Rock's a chance each way, second up. And then GG's Double J, the good 2 year old. From last season, he resumes here, and he's got plenty of wheel, and he's been working the place down. Tuesday Night Delight's a chance, drawn midfield, and Concrete Johnny only had 2 starts this prep for as many wins, and Siggy Carr's back in town, and she picked up nearly a 4. I think she got a full book at the card, and she takes the ride on Concrete Johnny, one of her favourite horses. So it's pretty wide. While I like Concrete Johnny as a horse, it is a big step up, and this is a very, very strong VM72. My numbers that I take in the quaddy are 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10, 11, and 12. 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10, 11, and 12. 6 of them we're taking. Oh, sorry, 8 of them we're taking in the second leg.
Now, number 12, GG's Double J, you mentioned, Pete. Bolted in a trial last week, scored effortlessly by 12 lengths, chased Admiral home a couple of times as a 2-year-old. So it's going to be a great chance first up.
Number 10, he is a chance first up. That's where you've got to include him. But like I said, this is a lot more experienced racehorses in this race. Classic Outlaw is older and more experienced. And GG's Double J is inexperienced. And while he was fresh and looked terrific winning that trial, this is going to be a lot tougher, and he has drawn barrier 13.
Okay, race number 7 is the third leg. It's the open handicap over the 1,650. It's the distance prelude. We saw the sprint prelude last week taken out by Innocent Gamble. Where are we looking here in this third leg?
Well, if you saw the win of Big Time, first up from a spell, and the wrap that Adam Trinder put on him, you'd be almost tempted to take him one out. And I'll be taking a few quaddies with him one out in the third leg. I think he does have Adam sorted him out. He came here with big expectations around Cups time in January or December last year, and he contested the Cup but didn't perform. He was the end of his tether. He has had a nice break, and Adam's super confident that he is his Cups chance, one of his Cups chance or contenders this season. I like him a lot, second up. And like I said, I'll be having him one out in a few of the quaddies. But I'd also be taking Spyware's Prado 1, second dozen 2, the stablemate of Big Time, 4 Raw Mizwaki, and 10 Land Star. Doing a nice gate, and he's probably going to lead or just sit behind the lead. Makes sense. 6, 1, 2, 4, and 10, but we might even take 6 one out.
Okay, the last leg, it's a sprint over 1,000, it's the Class 2, Tennessee Drive, 2 from 2, can it bring up a winning hat-trick?
Absolutely. I love him. I think he's a good horse. I think he's a real talent. And Barrier 5, another 3 kilo claim off Harley McCarthy. I don't see any reason why he can't win it. To make it a maiden, Class 1, Class 2 this prep, he just keep going. And he's the way that he won last time, It was with such authority, you would have to think that he'd be very, very hard to beat again. I think Osborne, the logical danger, and Beryl B, number four. She'll be improved by the first up run. And Bernard also was a decent run first up and will be improved by that outing. It has a 1.5 kilo claim for Georgie Catania, Bernard, and it'll carry a half above the minimum, and Siggy Carr can't get a claim on Beryl B. But Tennessee Drive certainly gets the claim with Hayley McCarthy riding well. And, of course, she partnered Loaded Owners to victory last week for the Bruntons.
How are we going to construct a quaddy that'll bring us out in front on the day?
Well, let's put it this way. If we looked at the first leg, 1, 2, 4, 8, 10 and 11, into 1, 4, 11 and 12, we'll take 6, 1 out, and then we'll take 1, 2 and 4 in the last leg, and that's for 50%, that'll cost us $30. Now, if you wanted to just take 1 out in the last with all the others, so 1, 2, 4, 8, 10, 11 into 1, 4, 11, 12 into 6 into 1, and we can take that for 50%, adding an extra $10. And then if you went even wider in the second leg and we took 2, 4, 8, 10, 11 into 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10, 11 and 12 into 6 and 1 for 25%, another $10, that's $50 all up. And if 6 and 1 get up in the third and fourth legs, you'd get the quaddie for 1.25%.
So you've done some maths there, Pete. All we need now is for the 6 and the 1 to actually win.
Mm. And I'm still waiting on the halves from last week. I know we missed it, but we might... Were we still on that or not?
Whatever you like, we'll double up.
We'll double up.
Now, are these your best bets late in the day?
Look, I do think. Look, I like Big Time. I like race 7, number 6, Big Time, and race 8, number 1, Tennessee Drive. I really do. And that's the daily double, and I'll be taking that for a fair few dollars.
Okay, so 6 and 1 in the double to finish off the meeting, the third of the race meetings at Topeda Park in the last couple of weeks as the Winter Carnival continues. It's been a great success so far, Pete.
It has been, Shane. It's all the trainers and owners and even the jockeys have warmed to it. Having five meetings in succession on the one track. Punters like it. They can study their form, and their form really stacks up on the Topeda at Devonport. A little bit unlike Geelong in Melbourne, the Topeda synthetic form really stacks up. And although we do have a smaller pool of horses that race against each other each week, and the punters also like that as well. So it helps with the product, and I'm sure that this weekend or this Sunday will be no exception. We'll be able to find winners and get some value.
All right, thanks for your time again today, Pete. And for all Peter's tips, you can go to www.tasracing.com.au and all of Peter's selections. And a thorough look at every race on the card will be there. We'll join you again next week, Pete.
Look forward to it, Shane.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.